You are listening to the Survived to Thrive podcast with Amy Miller, a podcast for survivors of suicide loss. In this weekly podcast, you will learn more about your unique experiences and gain insights on your brain and how it processes grief and loss due to a loved one's suicide. While suicide grief comes in all shapes and sizes, Amy shows you that you still can have a life full of joy and fulfillment even though your loved one died. You don't have to just survive anymore. You can thrive.
You are listening to the Survive to Thrive podcast with Amy Miller, episode number 68, How to Talk to Your Kids About Suicide Loss. Hello, friends. Welcome to the podcast. It's number 68. Can't believe it. It has been 68 episodes. You know, I'm going in on about a year and a half of recording episodes, and it's been a privilege. I feel honored that I get to do this each week, that I get to discuss topics about loss in such a way that brings hope and awareness. And I feel so privileged that I get to have amazing conversations with people that I've interviewed in my podcast and to help, you know, facilitate awareness and facilitate concepts that I have learned as a certified grief educator and as a certified life coach on how to move forward with grief, right? I feel like grief is something we can move forward with. It's not something that has to keep us stuck. And I feel like so many survivors of suicide loss just feel stuck. They feel like they can't move on. They can't move forward. So I just appreciate the opportunity to share these concepts on this podcast and to help provide hope for those who feel like they're in a place where they just don't know or they're not sure if they're going to be able to make it through. Because the truth is, you will and you can, and it's available to you. And you not only will make it through, but you still have such a beautiful life ahead. So I hope this podcast helps facilitate that hope. All right, friends. So today I want to talk about our kids and our children, right? Because I feel like there are so many children out there in the world who are affected by suicide loss, whether that be their parent who has died, whether that be their sibling, their cousin, their grandparent, their, you know, uncle or aunt or somebody that they care about in their lives, maybe a friend or a caretaker or a teacher or someone, right, that they were close to or knew, and they get impacted by this type of devastating loss. And, you know, and it feels difficult for us as adults to talk about this topic with them because, one, we don't really understand it ourselves, right? We are left with a lot of confusion, right? And how in the world can we talk to somebody, especially children, when we're confused about our loss to begin with, right? And so that can be challenging. Also, too, we're very fearful that we might give them the idea that we might communicate it in such a way that can do more harm than good, you know, that sort of thing. So I felt like it was super important to have a discussion on where we start, how we have the conversation with our kids, so that it can alleviate some of those concerns and fears that we have when it comes to talking to our kids about suicide loss. Okay. So the first thing I want to talk about, and I think this is crucial and key, is to start by sorting out our own feelings, okay? This is so important because children have an innate ability to replicate our emotions, right? And I'm sure you've noticed it, right? Maybe you're having a bad day and so your kids are acting out. Maybe you're feeling frustrated, right? And it causes frustration in our kids, right? Maybe we're feeling rushed. So then our kids feel rushed and anxious, right? kids have an innate ability to mirror our behaviors and to replicate the emotions and the feelings that we are feeling, right? And I think it's very important to be mindful of this, right? So when we start to have a conversation with our children and we haven't sorted out our own feelings based on the loss, then when questions come up from our children, we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do, right? Because we're still grappling with our own emotions and trying to sort them out and figure it out, right? So I think it's important to sort them out. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that we've overcome these feelings, that we've gotten through it, right? Like, especially if we're dealing with a negative part of grief, right? And maybe we feel like, you know, it's really difficult for me to talk to my children about this because I'm in the depths of being angry, for example, right? And maybe you feel like that's not an appropriate place. And what I want to say about that is that as long as you recognize your own feelings about it, you can express it to your children that when you're talking to them about the loss and where you're at, they'll have more understanding, right? They'll understand it more. They won't be left wondering, why is mom so angry? Or why is dad, you know, so difficult to approach right now, right? Because children have this innate ability to blame themselves too, like for the emotions that we feel. So I think it's really important to have an honest and open conversation with your child to express, hey, look, you know what? I've lost someone that I really care about to suicide. And, you know, it's really difficult for me to accept. And I've been feeling really angry, or I've been feeling really sad, right? And so I think once we're able to own our own emotions, own our own feelings, be honest about it with our children, you know, we're making a great start in having that conversation with them so that they don't have to necessarily feel like they need to take that on, right? You can express, this is the emotions I'm feeling. That doesn't mean you need to feel these emotions. It's just where I'm at. And, you know, I'm working through it. And I think it's important for you to know that because I don't want you to take that onto yourself. Okay. So first step, start by sorting out your own feelings. Okay. The second step I want to talk about is, well, I think this is also a very important piece, is to really keep in mind that children are literal, right? They have, you know, depending on their age, right? They like to interpret things that they are told in a very literal and concrete way. Okay. So it's very important that we don't offer explanations of death, such as, you know, our loved one is lost, or they've gone away, or they've gone to sleep, right? Have you heard that one? Because the reason is, if you're explaining the death in that way, you know, they're going to misunderstand it and they're going to feel very confused, right? So you need to really provide honest answers to their questions, okay? Now, don't feel like you have to tell them everything in detail, okay? Because that's a very different thing. You don't need to tell them exactly how they died, the method in which they died, right? You don't need to do that, right? And it's especially true, you know, to very young children, right? Because they don't really need to know all those details. And so being very mindful of where they're at in their age, right? And how much they can understand before you're divulging too much information, right? Okay. Another thing you need to really understand is that children are worriers, right? They are chronic worriers. So it's important to be open and honest in a way that is very age appropriate. So make sure that when you're talking about the loss, you just keep that in mind, okay? If they're really, really young, I would say, like, especially if they are 5 or younger, you might just want to tell them that they have died. You might not want to go into the idea of suicide, right? Because if they're super young, they're going to have no brain capacity to really wrap their heads around that, okay? The other thing to keep in mind is that they're super young, they are not going to understand the concept of forever, right? So I think it's important to explain that they have died, right? Think about little kids and they'll see bugs that have died or birds that have died, or maybe, you know, they've lost one of their pets. And so they're still grappling with the idea that there is a difference between being alive and being not alive. And so their brains are still trying to make that concept, like connect those dots, right? So once they do get a little bit older, then, and they're asking more questions, right, about, you know, how their loved one died, right? An explanation that I feel like is very good, it's honest, to the point, but doesn't tell too much unless your child really wants to know, is to tell them that they've died by an illness in their mind. Okay. Now, I like this. This is something that was introduced to me by David Kessler, who is a renowned grief expert. And I think it's really a great way to explain it to children because they may not understand, you know, why someone would be capable of choosing to die, right? So if we tell them and phrase it in such a way that they had an illness in the mind, it helps them to understand that it was an illness. I think children easily accept when someone is sick and they die, or, you know, there's an accident and they die, right? And so using the idea that your loved one had an illness will really help them to understand it more clearly. Okay. So you might be asking yourself, okay, how can I have this conversation with my child? I always recommend having the conversation side by side. So I've always feel like it's not something that you would really want to have the conversation like, you know, hey, let's sit down and let's talk about this. Because I think it can be very, what's the word? Anxiety ridden if you're having that conversation with them like that. I find it to be better if you're doing it side by side. So what this means is if you're like on a walk together or in the car together, right, where you're next to each other and you're doing something actively, you're moving or something and doing something else, it kind of takes the pressure off, right? So that can look like, you know, cooking together or doing a craft or a project or something, or even folding laundry or doing dishes. Just something where you're not like imposing a seriousness to the conversation as much as it is serious, right? It's like the idea of we need to sit down and have a talk. It can be very difficult, right? But when we're having a conversation a little bit more casually in an environment where you're not feeling like you're having to confront your child so much as it is you're doing something together and you're having an open and honest conversation side by side. Okay. The next thing I want to talk about is, you know, some of the things you need to be prepared for. Okay. You really need to be prepared to listen. Okay. Your kids might ask some really weird questions, depending on their age, you know? And I think it's important to really listen to them, validate their feelings, and ask them, you know, follow-up questions. You know, be prepared to do that. Be prepared to listen what they're thinking about. You know, some of the things to you might seem like, what are they talking about? Like, why, you know? They might ask really weird off the wall questions, right? But I think if you approach it in a sense so that you're really wanting to understand, your children are going to feel that, right? Because a lot of times they have a lot of feelings and a lot of thoughts in their own heads, and they're not quite clear on how to communicate that to you properly, right? So be prepared to ask a lot of questions and validate them, okay? I think it's really important. If we dismiss our kids, they're going to think that something is wrong with them. They're going to think something is wrong with the way they're feeling. They're going to question themselves, and they're going to be less apt to expressing more additional emotions as they start to feel them the older they get and the more they understand about the suicide loss. So make sure you're validating their feelings and be prepared to ask follow-up questions. The next thing I want to talk about is encouraging your child to express how they are feeling, right? I think a lot of times children are raised in a culture in which emotions are not okay, right? Where we're constantly telling our kids to be quiet, to stop, to knock it off, right? Because they're having a meltdown or they're screaming in Walmart, right? I think it's really important to allow them to express how they are feeling. Let them scream, okay? Let them throw a fit. There's absolutely nothing wrong. There's no damage that is occurring to anybody else or anything when your children are expressing how they are feeling. We may feel uncomfortable with the way that they're expressing their feelings, right? But I think it's really important to allow them to express how they are feeling. We need to do a better job at this, I feel like. I feel like us as parents have not done a great job, right? Think about us and our childhood growing up, right? Where we were always told that, you know, crying was bad, that crying was making you weak, right? And it's because we were constantly stopping it, trying to fix it, right? Or doing whatever we can to make it stop as parents, right? And so most of us were raised in that environment that emotions are not okay, right? But I feel like it's really important to encourage your child to express how they are feeling. Also, the next thing, which is also can be challenging for us as adults to do, is to accept the feelings they are feeling, okay? Maybe they're feeling really sad. Maybe they're just feeling anxious or nervous, right? How many times when your child says, I'm so nervous, and you tell them, you don't need to be nervous, right? Because we feel like that is somehow helping, but actually it's doing the reverse. It's actually not helping. It's making it worse, because not only are they not allowed to feel nervous, right? But now they feel something is wrong with them because they're feeling the nervousness, right? So accept the feelings they are feeling. The next thing I want to talk about is feelings need to be felt, not fixed, right? Again, it kind of goes back to that whole thing where we're just telling them they don't need to be nervous, right? We think as our child is expressing that they're feeling nervous and we're telling them they don't need to be nervous, it's fixing their nervousness, right? But no, children really just need to be able to express, feel their feelings, and we need to be okay as parents or adults in their lives to allow them to feel what they're feeling. Okay. One thing that I think is really important and also crucial, okay, is to reassure your child that the suicide was not their fault, okay? Children have this innate ability to blame themselves for anything that has gone wrong, right? It's interesting because psychologist after psychologist have talked and touched on this. I'm not quite sure the reasons. Maybe some of you are more versed in this that could tell me why. But children have this tendency, whether it be through disagreements, divorces, things that are going on in school, stuff like that, they interpret it as being their fault. And so I think it's really important when we're talking about loss in general with our kids to help them understand that it was not their fault. Okay. Another thing I want you to be mindful is that words matter. So be careful. Avoid negative statements. Okay. Avoid judgmental phrases. and avoid abstract statements. Okay. So be very careful about saying things like, you know, your loved one just gave up. They left us. They just didn't want to stick around. Things like that, because it matters to the kid, because then they're going to be left wondering if it was their fault. Right? So be very careful about how you're phrasing things, right, to your kids. And, you know, use things that help to help yourself make more sense of the loss, right? Again, like your loved one had an illness to the mind, of the mind. They really didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay. They really loved us. They really loved you. I think things like that are going to go over so much better than these negative judgmental phrases. Okay. All right. So with all of that being said, the last thing I want to say about all of this is to just have a conversation with your kids. Okay. And, you know, you may not get it right, and that's okay. I think kids really need us when they're going through grief. They don't understand it. They don't interpret it in the exact same way we as adults do, because they don't have the experience nor the capacity to really deal with these difficult subjects, right, in different circumstances that come into their lives. And so they really need us to help them, to guide them, and to show them support and love. And, you know, I think that when we do have these conversations, we might mess up. We might say a negative statement, right? We might say something, you know, that a child might take literally, that, you know, you really didn't want them to take from whatever it is you said. And you think, oh, I just messed up. But here's the thing. Children know you care, right? They can feel it. And if you approach them in such a way that you really love and care about them, and you want what's best with them, and you want them to understand that you are there for them and you're going to support them and that they're safe with you, I think that's really the most important thing, that they're going to find you to be a safe place for them to land as they're trying to make sense of this grief that they have been faced with. So I hope that's helpful for you, and I hope you'll utilize these suggestions. I think they're very important, and I hope it helps. So thanks again for listening. Episode 68, friends. I can't wait to record the next one. I hope you have a great day. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Survived to Thrive podcast. If you like this podcast, please share with your friends and write a review on iTunes. Also, check out survived-to-thrive.com for more information and to subscribe to get the podcast's latest episode, along with useful tips you can begin to use immediately to feel better, directly sent to your inbox.